Peter chapter. I'm just not studied up enough ready to start that series on typology yet, so I don't know if I'll ever be, but I got to get my mind right to get into it. So until then, we're just going to do something different every week, I guess. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And a lot of times we focus on verses 15 and 16. But I think that in order to achieve this practical holiness, this purity of heart, we really have to hone in on verse 13, which is what we're going to focus on tonight. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, these words written under divine inspiration are addressed primarily to those of us that are saved by the grace of God. In fact, Peter starts off his epistle addressing verse 2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So God's purpose is that before the world began, He foreknew us. He had a special knowledge and love of His people, which moved Him to choose us in Christ. And then Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, agreed to offer His blood as our redemption, and the Holy Spirit agreed to bring about the new birth, to give us this lively hope. So we've been born again, and in the new birth, you're given a new heart that goes after God. You're given a new mind, and with that new mind, we've got to use it in the right way. We got to be careful what we do with what we think about, what we take in. And I think that's the idea of girding up the loins of your mind. The journey is often long and treacherous. We're travelers. We're pilgrims. We're running a race. All of those metaphors point to a journey. We're going to the celestial city. We're going to the very glory and presence of God. And that journey that we're on is long. It's treacherous. And in order to travel quickly and without entanglements, it's necessary to bind up the garments that might otherwise impede our progress. And that's what he's talking about. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the picture from the Bible days would be a person who was dressed in long, flowing robes. And in order, if somebody was going to really hot-foot it, they would gird that robe. They'd hitch it up and they'd put a girdle about it so that their feet would be free to travel. They'd be free to run. They'd be free to move quickly. And what he's talking about here is he's applying this idea of girding your loins so that you can move unencumbered, so that you're not hindered. He's saying, you got to gird up the loins of your mind. What you take in, what you think about, what you see or read or on a daily basis, what you process, it will affect your Christian life. How you walk, how you talk, how you live, how you interact with people. A lot of it has to do with what's going on between your ears, in your mind. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. It's really difficult to climb a hill or to move with haste to one's destination unless, and I'm talking about in the old days, unless that garment was tightly girt around the wearer. Now, as God's children, we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We must not allow our minds to hang loose in terms of this metaphor. Because if we do, we'll find that our mind will be blown about by every wind of doctrine. If you don't gird up your mind, if you don't guard your mind, if you don't keep it tightly, close to the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be anxious. You'll have thoughts of worry, and they may even take over your day. You can lose a whole day to anxiety. Or maybe you can't let your mind just run free. You got to gird it up. You can't let bitterness come into your mind where you get your thoughts on either some circumstance that you're in and you're bitter toward God because of the circumstance you're in, or maybe bitterness toward another person. And you can't let your mind run in those channels. It will hinder you in your quest to be holy, in your desire to be more like Jesus Christ. Covetousness is another thing. Gird up your mind. Don't always have your thoughts upon physical things, upon things that you can accumulate. Because you know what? That's not what your life consists of as a believer. It doesn't consist of things that you possess or money that you have. It consists of peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Another thing, lust. You let your mind hang loose, and you don't keep it focused on the glory of God, it can easily run into, you can behold a lustful image, and that'll be in your mind for that day. Jesus addresses all this. All through the Gospels, it is so vital that we take care to gird up the loins of our mind. When a loose mind, you can't let your mind, again, I'm trying to get this idea of these loose garments. You know what happens if you don't gird up your garments and they just hang loose? They soon will begin to accumulate dirt and filth as they drag about. We can't allow our minds to drag the ground. When a loose mind drags the dirt, it soon becomes a dirty mind. And many professing Christians today have loose morals because they failed to gird up the loins of their mind. They're lax in their beliefs. They're lax in their practices. Listen, as a saved person, there are some things that you ought to have as convictions. Things that you believe are based on the Word of God that are so vital to you, so important to you, the way of salvation, the truth of the Lord's church, holiness and life, all of these things should be things that we're convicted about. And it starts with our mind. You know, it saddens me to think how many people don't use their minds. They turn them off, or they let them wander. And so many, you can see it when they do those news programs and they'll ask somebody simple questions like, who was the first president? Or, you know, what was the Civil War fought over? And you get people and they have no idea. Their minds aren't right. They're not thinking. And then I think, what if they were to start asking Christian people? You know, just if they were to come around in your average Sunday morning church service with a microphone and say, what is the new birth? Can you provide scriptural support for that? You know, I wonder what people would say if they were asked questions that every one of us that are saved ought to know. The new birth, that's the Spirit of God who gave us life in regeneration. We ought to know that. We're partakers of that. We ought to know what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished in our lives. We've been forgiven through His blood. We're justified, declared not guilty. We're redeemed by the blood. We're reconciled to God by the blood. These are things you ought to know. To gird up the loins of our mind involves a recognition that our thoughts are often allowed to run wild without little restraint. You see, there's a reason why He admonishes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When you see a verse like this, there's another side to this, which means the reason why He's given you this instruction is because God knows your mind. He knows how prone you and I are to just let them wander, to go off in several different directions. We have to face this issue honestly. Too many people have convinced themselves they have no responsibility for their thoughts or for the content of their thoughts. Our thoughts are formed from the impressions made in our mind, really through our five senses. And we are responsible to place ourselves in the sphere of wholesome, godly impressions as much as possible. Because what you're exposed to is usually what you're going to think about throughout the day, throughout the week. Are you exposing yourself to the pure Word of God? Are you exposing yourself, you know, do you carry on intelligent conversation with God in prayer? You know, what is it that you think about through the day? You say, well, I've got to work. I've got responsibilities. That doesn't dismiss the importance of thinking right so that you can do right while you're at work. Isn't it true that we often watch or read or listen to or choose situations, even though we know beforehand that the desires of our flesh and of our mind will be enticed? Think about that. And God knows what's showing in the theater of our mind. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And everything is naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It's as if God sees what's showing. Now, I don't see it. I mean, you could be sitting here tonight acting like you are just enraptured with attention, that you're hanging on my every word. But in reality, you're thinking about meatloaf. So I have no idea. I can't get into your mind. I don't know what you're thinking, but God does. And we've got to put ourselves in situations and expose ourselves to things that will enhance our relationship to God, our thought process about God, rather than things that hinder. God understands the imaginations of our thoughts. To gird up our minds is to gather together all of our distracted thoughts and focus them rather on the Lord, His ways, His character. You know, I do this all the time. There's a verse that I fall back on all the time. When I'm talking to people that may be having problems, I always direct them to this verse. And I think about this verse nearly every day, because I think it's so important. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I believe that we can, if God will give us grace by the power of His Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, to keep our minds stayed on Him. And I think that's how we gain a sound mind. The Bible says that those of us that are saved by the grace of God, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, I want to have a sound mind by God's standard. And the way you have to get your mind right. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you can have your mind stayed upon the Lord, you'll have peace, you'll have joy. You won't fret. You won't worry. You won't allow the circumstances of life to twist you up if your mind stayed on Him. And if your mind stayed on the Lord, you'll also be able to meditate upon Him. Meditate upon His Word. And what happens in meditation is when you think deeply upon the things of God, and I think one of the best ways to foster an attitude of meditation is if you will memorize Scripture. I started this with the grandchildren this week in our Baptist boot camp, because they're coming in the morning now and staying all day. But we're right now focusing on trust. And so we're memorizing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's that verse. If you memorize it, you meditate upon it, and your mind is stayed on the Lord and what He's doing in your life, you'll be able to accept His providential dealings. Even the dark chapters of providence that He may write in your life, if your mind is stayed on Him. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Again, this is an admonition for believers who have been changed by the power of God, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And notice something. When you renew your mind according to that new nature that you've received from the Spirit of God, you won't be so apt to lie to your neighbor. Verse 25. You'll not be so apt to be unjustifiably angry and harsh. You won't give place to the devil. Verse 27. You won't entertain laziness or stealing. Verse 28. It'll affect the way you talk. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It will. You'll think about not grieving the Spirit of God by the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think. And you won't have thoughts of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You'll begin to put those things away and replace them with kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness. It all goes back to that admonition. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you're going to conquer these other things, remember, that'll entangle you. That'll slow you down. That'll hinder you in your quest to be more like Christ, in your desire to be a witness for Him. You see, we've got to savor the things that be of God rather than the things that be of men. That word savor means to mind the things of God. To gird up the loins of our mind means to rein in our thoughts for service. We have to put our thoughts in the right direction. You know what characterized what they said that of the Bereans in Acts 17:11? That the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched, they had a willing mind and they searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. I wonder, do you have a willing mind to search the Scriptures? To go to the Word of God, to learn, to be corrected, to be instructed, to be encouraged, and then to act on it. See, it takes deliberation. It takes a conscious, disciplined effort on your part to read and understand something. You got to set your mind to do it. And then you got to act on what you've read. This is practical Christianity. It means to take in hand to bring every thought under obedience to Christ. You know, everybody talks about we ought to be free thinkers. No, your mind shouldn't be free to wander. There's a whole lot out there to stimulate lust and to hinder your service to God. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3. For we walk in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You talk about a rigid, strict standard. Bringing every imagination, every thought under the dominion, under the leadership, under the direction of Christ and what pleases Him, and what honors Him, that's a tall task. Think about how many thoughts you have in a given day. I mean, it's astronomical when you get right down to it. We've got to guard our thoughts. Our thoughts need to be conformed to the Word of God. And we know that that can only be accomplished through the work of the Spirit in us. To teach us, to guide us, to lead us, to help us, to enlighten us, and to energize us in the truth. But don't get this idea that you have no part to play. You do. This is one of the problems that sovereign grace people face. That we believe wholeheartedly that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But oftentimes we don't address the responsibility that we have to seek the Lord while He may be found. To renew our minds. To gird up the loins of our minds. To have our thoughts on Him. We have responsibility to do that. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And He goes on to describe the humility, the obedience, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the mind that we're to have. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. God has done a great work in us. And we have a responsibility to serve Him, and it starts with what we think about. That's where it starts. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things..." Now, He's going to give you a list of things to think about. Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just, right in the sight of God. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if you were to add up all of the things He just told you to think about, it would equal the person of Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on Him. So to gird up our minds means to discipline ourselves to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and of good report. You know what will help you do that? Memorizing Scripture. Taking in the Word of God. Brandon, this is something you should do throughout your ministry. It will liberate you when you're preaching. When you commit Scripture to memory. When you memorize the Word of God. A lot of times when I preach a sermon, in my preparation, if I can't memorize it, the verses that I'm dealing with, I at least write them out. So that I may not know the whole verse, but I've written it out, I've thought about it, I've meditated upon it, and I have greater liberty. God will give me grace to recall it better. But I write verses out all the time. A lot of people, when they write, they will copy and paste on their computer from something to plug in. I never do that. I always print. I print out every verse I type it out completely. And then I edit it and I go over it. Why? I want to be saturated with the Word of God. So that I can preach the Word with liberty. Our minds. You can't let them run wild. You got to keep them on the things of God. And it's serious. As pilgrims, we should never allow anything to slow us down on our journey to heaven. And the Bible talks about us being pilgrims and strangers. We desire every day to make progress in knowledge and faith and holiness and usefulness. But progress is virtually impossible unless we get a grip on our thought process. What we think about. And I'm going to tell you something else that will cripple you. Is worrying about everything. It can destroy your daily life. It can rip the heart of your spirituality out, because worry causes doubt in the veracity, the truth of God's Word, and also God's provision. The Bible says, take no thought for the morrow. God already knows. He has it all under control. I got into a little tussle with somebody that believed in, they were all worried about the temperature rising. And I said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. God has it all under control. I'm not worrying about 100 years and a temperature off of 1 degree. How can we even gauge it? Do you think that the thermometers 100 years ago were as accurate as the ones we have today? I don't. But you know what? I don't worry about it. Because I think God has it under control. This is His creation. When He's done with it, He will do what He wants with it. I'm not going to worry about that. And then this guy said, well, what's going to happen? I said, well, let me tell you, you can't even heal a common cold. How are you going to heal the planet? I mean, think of how ridiculous it is. Again, it's something I don't worry about. Now, I'll turn my lights off tonight, preserve a little energy. And I'll try to plan my trips so that I don't use as much gas. Yeah, I do that. I'm a conservative. I like to conserve things. But I don't worry about this creation. It's under God's control. When we run a race, we can't allow entanglements. We have to gird up our minds. As soldiers, how are we going to fight if our movements are hampered by loose garments? Our loins should be girt about with truth. As laborers in the Master's vineyard, we'll have little to show at the end of the day if our mind's not on the work. It all goes back to the mind. What you think about. The Christian life is no child's play. In fact, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Our intellectual powers must be renewed continually. It's one of the reasons why preaching is important. I don't feel like I'm especially gifted in any way. I don't have eloquence. I'm not a smart man. I don't know a lot. But I do try to study and bring something to you every week. Something from the Word of God that might feed your soul. And I guarantee you, if you will make application, you will learn something about the things of God. But it takes this desire in us to keep our minds on the things of the Lord. We'd be better witnesses. We would be more sensitive as we looked upon people as souls needing a Savior if our minds were on the things of God. Let's go to God in prayer tonight.